Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I am your host, Matthew DiMaggio. Today, we are joined by Chris Johns and Tim Eltz, portfolio managers of Aquila Tax-Free Trust of Oregon. We will be discussing the current municipal market environment, both broadly and on a state level. Thanks for sitting with us today, gentlemen.
Great to be here, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
So much has happened this year in the fixed income market and really beyond. Can you gentlemen speak to how the municipal market has transformed this year?
Well, the biggest transformation, as everyone knows, has been, you know, a significant rise in interest rates that's been driven by the Federal Reserve's reaction to lingering inflation in our economy. Inflation was driven by kind of post-pandemic pressures, supply chain disruptions, and other things. And finally, the Federal Reserve has convinced the market that they are going to continue to raise short-term interest rates until they see some progress on the inflation front. You know, one of the big changes this year in interest rates has been that the U.S. Treasury market and the municipal bond market don't always necessarily move in the same magnitude in a particular direction, and many, many times don't even move in the same direction over the last year. Overall, we've seen interest rates rise on munis a little bit less than we have in the Treasury market in certain parts of the curve, but they're very different. I mean, we still see a significant inversion in the Treasury curve where the two-year yield is roughly 65 or 70 basis points higher than the 10-year yield, whereas in the muni space, there's still a pickup of 30 basis points or so from 2 years to 10 years. So the shapes of the curve are very different, driven by different demand and supply reasons in those two markets and the tax exemption of munis. So these days, like many times in the past, when you talk about interest rates changing and rising, you really have to define which interest rates because they can be different. Relatively speaking, munis are probably fairly valued right now. The percentage of municipal yield to treasury yield in the three-year range is about 70%, maybe slightly lower than average. The five-year range, 75%. 10-year, 81%, and 30-year, 95%. And those are, you know, over the last 10 years or so, particularly the 10 and 30-year, is about average, about fairly valued in that range.
Thanks, Chris. So you touched a bit on the headline topic for fixed income this year, of course, interest rates and inflation. Do you have any thoughts on the Fed's current position?
Sure. You know, first of all, you know, what the Fed tries to do, they have two tools in their hands right now that they're using to try and control inflation. The first one is the Fed funds rate, which is an overnight rate. And it is just a monumental task for the Federal Reserve to try and, to control the all interest rates and inflation by just changing short-term interest rates. And that's a very, very difficult thing to do. The other tool they have and have been using is quantitative tightening, where they're allowing their portfolio to roll off into the market. The Fed is really committed to beating inflation right here. I think many times more committed to beating inflation than the market wants them to be. But they're going to need to see several data points, you know, several months in a row of slowing inflation before they change their approach towards the amount and frequency of short-term rate increases. So I think that the Fed is going to continue to raise interest rates. We happen to think that the worst is behind us. We think rates have risen more in the past than they will in the future. And there are some signs of slowing inflation in the economy right now. So we tend to believe that rates may go a little bit higher, but we think the worst is behind us.
Yeah, and it's been a year with such uncommon circumstances here. I feel it's understandable for investors to be a bit turned around at this moment. Can you address what are the key market drivers currently at play in the municipal market?
Well, very simply, the biggest driver in the market is interest rate fears. I mean, investors are very, very concerned about rising interest rates. This is a circumstance that we haven't seen in decades, really, for the amount of rate increases that we've seen this year. So that's the primary driver. You know, right now, investors' expectations really conflict between two things. They expect that interest rates could stay, you know, continue to go up and stay higher for a longer period of time than was originally thought. But on the other hand, there's also a fear of recession. And those two things are kind of conflicting on their impact on interest rates. So that also creates, you know, a lot of week-to-week and month-to-month volatility in the fixed income markets, is that as emotions ebb and flow over time, sometimes, you know, higher interest rates seem to be the driver, and sometimes a recession seems to be the driver. So that's created a lot of volatility. Our observation would be that this could present an opportunity as a pretty good entry point into the fixed income markets, given the last 15 or 20 years. I mean, we haven't seen rates at this level. So we think that, you know, now, you know, you may not be hitting the absolute peak in interest rates, but boy, it sure looks a lot better than it did a year ago. And so we think that that represents some opportunity.
Fantastic coverage, Chris. Tim, you have a great handle on credits within the country. Can you talk about credit strength in the municipal bond market? For anybody who may be concerned about the condition of our economy, how would you address the condition of the credits?
Thanks, Matt. I would say that both nationally and locally, credit is quite strong. And a lot of this is due to the massive stimulus funding by the federal government through the American Rescue Plan and the CARES Act. And another thing that I would mention, though, and I don't think this gets the credit that it deserves quite often, is the local budgeting process that local governments use, where they involve citizen committees. They're engaging the citizens from throughout whatever the local jurisdiction is. And then the months of strategic planning that local governments put into their budget process. And while we talk about recession and other economic concerns, local governments have been preparing for some type of economic downturn for the last couple of years. And so as a result, we're seeing fund balances and cash reserves that are higher than what we've seen in the past. But we do have some limited areas of concern. There are certain areas that we're concerned about, including private higher ed and assisted living. The other thing that I would note is that we've seen credit spreads shift around a little bit over the past year. And what I'm talking about with credit spreads is the difference between high-rated bonds, the AAA bonds, and at the lower end of the investment-grade spectrum, single-A, BAA types of credits. During the previous interest rate cycle, which was marked by declining rates, we saw spreads tighten as investors stretched down the credit ladder for yield. And in our opinion, it got to the point that we weren't getting paid for the risk, and we started to abandon some of those riskier sectors as the credit spreads weren't paying us for the risk that we would have to take in order to put those bonds in the portfolio. But now that interest rates are rising, we're seeing the opposite happening, and credit spreads are widening. So as a result, we've been selectively adding some credit risk where we feel that we're getting paid. A good example of this is the healthcare sector, where we saw credits spread tighten down significantly, and now we started to see them widen out. They're not quite to the widest levels that they had been, but they're now at levels where we feel like there's some reward for the risk.
Amazing cover there, Tim. Thanks so much. So I want to address the state of Oregon more specifically. What is happening locally in the Oregon municipal market?
The big development in the Oregon municipal market is the recent election. Supply has been a big concern in Oregon over the past year. Tax-exempt issuance has been down about 34% year-to-date. And looking back over the month of October, not a single issue sold, which is a rare event. I mean, a lot of this can be attributed to higher interest rates and lower refunding activity. When I talk about refunding activity, I'm referring to bonds that are issued by local governments to pay off higher interest rate debt with lower interest rate debt. similar to how a homeowner refunds their or prepays their mortgage. But on the other side of things, the Oregon election was a big success with close to $1.5 billion in new bonds approved. And schools were the big success story here with over $1 billion in new bond authority. Portland Community College led the way with a $450 million bond, which is its biggest ever. And the other thing that I would note, and this isn't related to bonds, but from a local government perspective, the city of Portland passed a measure to update its charter, which is the first time it's done this in over 100 years. This will be a major change for the city where they're shifting from a commission form of government to a mayor-council system of government. So this is something that we'll be following closely and evaluating how this might affect any changes in the city's credit.
Thanks, Tim. I know our listeners will appreciate the coverage of the GO bond results for midterm elections, always an important topic. So I want to close out today's podcast. Can you cover the fund's strategy and outlook?
Sure, I'll take that one. First thing I'd say is that for longtime users of the Aquila funds, I mean, our investment objective has remained constant for over three decades. We seek to provide a double tax exempt yield with a little bit lower volatility than other options out there. We do that with intermediate maturities and investment grade bonds, which is designated in the prospectus. For us, over the last 3 years or so, we have been defensive with our portfolio positioning by being at the shorter end of our duration range. And as Tim mentioned, you know, we have very high credit quality in the portfolio. At present time, we're looking to add a little bit of credit, as Tim mentioned, where we can find more attractive spreads. And then probably the most important thing we've been doing lately is to exchange some of the lower book-yielding bonds in the portfolio that were purchased when interest rates were much lower than they are today and replacing them with, you know, bonds with higher interest rates that are available today. So there's really two ways that we're trying to improve the shareholder experience here. One is to reduce volatility by being at the shorter end of our duration range and the higher end of credit quality. And then the second one is to improve the yield of the fund by these bond exchanges that we're talking about, where we can, you know, improve the yield on bonds significantly given the way the market has moved. And we can do that without adding a ton of interest rate risk or duration risk, because the municipal yield curve is relatively flat. So we don't have to extend real far to pick up, you know, significant yield from where these bonds are in the past. And then finally, we will continue to keep a very close eye on credit. That is our major strength with this fund, and that we think serves investors very well.
All right. And with that, that is all for today's podcast. Gentlemen, thanks again, as always, for taking the time to discuss the municipal markets with us.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor of the fund. Before investing in a fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 800-437-1020. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in credit quality of the issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the fund's with greater geographic diversification. For more information on the entire Aquila Group of Funds, please visit www.aquilafunds.com. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax, referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, AAA, highest, to D, lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the rating assigned to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued to retire or regain an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration also takes into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is a difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net investment income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income above an applicable threshold amount. Yield refers to the earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the invested amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividends received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better.